Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
We're back here with another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast, FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley with you today. And as we continue on, moving up from the bottom of the draft order, we look today at the Dallas Cowboys and coming off a pretty successful season, but some changes already for the team. Of course, we know about DeMarco Murray, and we'll get into all of that. What do they need to do going forward to build on what was a fairly successful 2014 season? We'll talk all about that today. But first, we got to talk about FanDuel.com because the MLB season is officially underway. FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever. You don't want to miss your chance to get in with the season just getting underway. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. Stop waiting 6 months to win a league. Play today. Win tonight. Pick a brand new team any day you want. No season-long commitment and no upfront fees. Make every game exciting with FanDuel. And Joe, maybe you root for a team that's not having the most exciting run heading into the regular season, but you have other reasons to play FanDuel because you can get involved with a lot of different other teams.
Yeah, and maybe that's the way you're going to be a fan this year. Obviously, as you well know, it just seems each and every year the pitching injuries just continue to add up, and it just really sickens you. But in FanDuel, you know, you just got to kind of spin a pitcher who's pitching that day. That's it. No commitment to him, no commitment beyond that. You can play once a week, you can play 20 times a week, you can play once a month, you can play 100 times
a month. You can have that great pitcher on a bad team and go, well, now I can go for him today, and I don't have to worry about what else happens with him. Eric Hafner from California turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Here's the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today as we get into the Dallas Cowboys. And we know how their season ended. Maybe it shouldn't ever have ended in the first place, but according to the NFL, Dez Bryant's catch was not a catch, and they go home after a attempt at a comeback in Green Bay. But they move forward here now, guys, and when we talk about Tony Romo, I think if you look at where he has been in his career, he's kind of been that prime example of a guy that we talk about that's been better for fantasy than reality. But I think in the last two seasons, it's been pretty much the opposite. Not that he's been bad for fantasy, but he's always kind of been a guy that's among the top 5-6 quarterbacks in the league in fantasy points per game, but 21.8 fantasy points per game in 2014. Not a bad year at all. That tied him for 11th at the position, but you see him throw just 435 passes. By comparison, Cam Newton threw 448 passes last season. Russell Wilson threw 452 passes last season. Now, all of those guys had success. All of them were among the top 10, but you don't expect Romo to be in that category with guys like that who don't throw the ball that much. Now, to his credit, he completed almost 70% of his passes, but just 3,705 yards, but 34 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. Efficiency was the name of the game. He protected the football. He was smarter with the football. The Cowboys were smarter with their offense. They banked on their ground game and their great O-line, and it worked. But for Romo, you know, you didn't always get those big performances. He did not have many games where he threw the ball 30-plus times. He only did that a handful of times, four or five times all season long. Not a bad thing for his efficiency, but for fantasy, he wasn't a guy that you could play every single week with a ton of confidence. I think you need to get a solid performance out of Romo and not maybe the big, gaudy performances we saw in previous seasons.
Well, this is what's called good coaching, and Jason Garrett is much maligned. For good reason at times. But you saw the strengths of the team. It was the run game, the offensive line, and obviously you have Dez Bryant. You saw Romo, who's been obviously going through the back injury, which is something we're going to have to discuss, not look the same in terms of his consistent throwing performance. So what do? Higher percentage throws, target Dez Bryant heavily, and run the hell out of the football. Turns out, you have the best season the Dallas Cowboys have had in a long time. You utilize the best assets on the team. And you're basically on the doorstep of the Super Bowl, if not for a shaky call or a controversial call, rather.
And he seemed to be getting better as the season went along. He was looking healthier. Remember, early in the season, it looked like he just didn't have a lot of zip on the ball for his first couple weeks. He's just started getting healthier and healthier, playing behind a great offensive line. But going forward here, do we have to worry about this running game a little bit more, you know, with DeMarco Murray gone? Do they have to rely on Romo a little bit more going forward?
See, I think that's interesting because you look at where the team is with what they have, and we'll get into what happens with Murray and all that, but what do they have, what have they had in the past is they have Dez. You have an aging Jason Witten, who's still a solid tight end, but I don't think anybody's as worried about him as they once were. You know, he puts up the big games now. It's more of a surprise than anything. You have Dez. You. That's it. That's your main guy. Terrence Williams is the epitome of a boom or bust guy. They re-signed Cole Beasley. He's a fine slot receiver, but that's fine. But they don't have the kind of firepower outside of Dez Bryant that they may have had in the past or relied on in the past. And now you wonder, okay, they've added Darren McFadden to the mix. Is this a team that's looking to add more firepower through the draft? They certainly didn't do so through free agency, but is that something they want to do? Can they go with kind of the same game plan if Darren McFadden is their guy? Now, let's talk about the ground game here, because obviously they lose DeMarco Murray. I'm not surprised that he did not come back at the money, especially that the Eagles paid him, coming off of a 390-plus touch season just on the ground. Obviously, he caught
the ball. For all indications, the Cowboys weren't very interested in bringing him back, period.
It was like they knew, we're going to run the hell out of him. We're going to use him. We're going to use him. It's a business, and you move on to the next guy.
And
they signed McFadden.
Bad cap situation in Dallas.
Right.
I think if Dallas is in a better financial situation, we might not even be talking.
They did kind of have to make, you know, they had the Dez issue. They have DeMarco. Who do you want to bring? Who do you want to bring back? And I think you would bring Dez Bryant back just based on running backs. It's not worth investing. Yeah. Especially a guy like that who they just kept feeding and feeding and feeding. It worked out. He was able to get through the season. But as we look here to 2015, can they shift in philosophy? Will they shift in philosophy? Because now they have McFadden there. And obviously he is just kind of a guy at this point in his career. But he'll get to run behind that O-line. How much stock do we put in the Cowboy O-line to make anybody they put back there a 1,000-yard runner? Because I think it is viable. And if they just kind of want to go with, you know, a group of guys, nobody that the talent level reaches a DeMarco Murray, can they be okay with a Darren McFadden group and maybe a guy that they get in the draft in the third or fourth round? I think they can.
I think they can be okay, absolutely. I don't think it's foolish to suggest anybody's going to come in here and have the success that Murray had last year. Now, that said, whoever projects as the lead back in this backfield, unless it's McFadden, which I don't think it will be, that guy's going to probably be a very coveted fantasy asset, and for good reason. It was a really good marriage of what DeMarco Murray was capable of doing and what the Dallas Cowboys personnel indicated they should do last year. I don't know if they're going to catch that lightning in a bottle again, but I would anticipate the lead back having pretty good success back here.
You know what? I'm just very scared of this backfield going into the year. I really feel like it's going to be a full-blown committee. It's going to be, you know, McFadden, and he's going to get hurt at some point. Joseph Randall's going to get touches. They're going to draft somebody in that second or third round.
Everybody's Randall's got to stay out of trouble.
Everybody's saying that's Tevin true, right? Coleman. Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be about three guys. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see a running back in that backfield get to 200, 225 touches, carries. I mean, I have a feeling this is just going to be a headache this year.
And, of course, they bring back Doug Free, which is important for them to kind of keep that continuity as one of their best players on that O-line. That is important for them. But, you know, I think what it comes down to is, do we expect a significant change in offense? If you have Tony Romo going into next year, or you're looking at Romo, do you see his numbers jumping up to the point where maybe he gets into the top six or seven as opposed to being just, you know, a top 11, 12 guy? Do we see the offense changing significantly if they don't have a big-time talent back there like a DeMarco Murray? Will they have to throw it more with Romo, or will they stick with pretty much the same offensive philosophy? Because if they do, I think you feel good about Dez, and then everybody else, you're kind of wait and see. And I don't know if they have a regular starter in your lineup. Even Witten is not that exciting to put in your lineup on a regular basis.
No. Jason Witten, early in the year, we wrote him off. We're like, we're done with this guy. He wasn't great for fantasy last year. Then started out extremely slow this year. Lowest receiving total since his rookie season in 2003, but still finished 10th among tight ends. That said, not too excited about an older guy at the position going forward. Let's see where he's getting drafted before I tell you whether I'm willing to have Jason Witten on my team. I would think you're going to see the team throw more.
A little bit.
Because you can't just, like I said, and you were alluding to, Tom, you're a little bit more down on this backfield than I am, and we'll have to wait to see how it shakes out in the draft.
With a running back.
But you just can't assume that they're just going to get a guy and plug him in and give him 400 carries, and they're going to run it the way they did last year. It's just not possible. You don't have DeMarco Murray anymore.
Do we see this backfield being more of a pain, I think, in 2015? We knew DeMarco was the guy.
That old hot hand approach they always use.
And it's going to be fantasy relevant.
It's going to be, oh, no doubt.
Sure, but it's trying to figure out who that guy is. They had DeMarco Murray, and did they go, you know what? He's good. He's a hell of a player. But we don't need a guy that good. We don't have to pay a guy that good.
Our line is that good. That's the thing.
Do we believe in the O-line that much that we go, we have McFadden, we can add a rookie, we can go with, as you would say, Tom, the hot hand, or kind of a multi-back approach, and it becomes a little bit more of a pain for us than fantasy. I agree that it'll be fantasy relevant, but I think it'll be another backfield that kind of drives us nuts because they do believe that it's more about their O-line than who's the one running the football.
What's the deal with Joseph Randall? 6.7 yards per carry last year. He was kind of the shoot a guy out of the can. And after they give Murray his rare breather, but he only had 51 carries.
Yeah.
And he is capable of finding himself in the doghouse multiple times.
And maybe that's why they were scared to give him, you know, a chance at
that's
the lead job.
That's why I think, and by the way, Lance Dunbar was a guy where, like, you know, Linehan likes to work in multiple backs. He did it in Detroit. We thought Dunbar last year was going to have a shot to do some things. Ended up, he only had 47 touches on the year, although he was a pretty good receiver. I would think Linehan is probably going to decide that, you know, we're going to rotate a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You can't draft Melvin Gordon or Tevin Coleman or anybody in that class and give them the touches DeMarco Murray had last year. That was a special circumstance. And to be honest, Philadelphia is not signing DeMarco Murray with the intention to give him 400 touches this year. So this is going to be a completely different offense in terms of where the numbers are going to be. Romo might be a little bit better, but then you got to worry about his health. Remember, he did miss a game with his back injury. So where do they stand on that? This is a team that I think last year, guys, noticed that things were working with DeMarco Murray in the offense and decided to go for it because how much longer do you have Tony Romo for?
That was the thing we were talking about coming into last offseason was, is Romo sticking around here? He's making a lot of money, and do they worry about those back issues? Now, as Joe mentioned, he missed a game with the back and, you know, missed the season finale in 2013, a must-win game for the Cowboys because the back injury had the procedure the offseason before that. Looks like he's going to get, as far as we know right now, through the 2015 offseason, okay. He's going to come to the season as healthy as he possibly can be at this point.
This is the healthiest he's been in a long time.
Which is, we'll take
that
this.
Line, yeah.
Right. We'll take this considering where we were the last two offseasons. Yeah. But as you guys have mentioned here, do they kind of see it here? You know, what do we have with Romo at this point in his career? How much time does he have left before that back becomes a bigger issue? And if you look to some of the younger talent here, you know, we've talked about Terrence Williams kind of being a boomer bust guy. For the second straight season, he had that, you know, hot start or had that stretch of games where he looked great, was scoring in bunches. You talk about the first seven games of the season, 19, 3, 38, 6 touchdowns, and then he had 13 for 163 over the next seven games. He has not shown enough to us to be a guy that you go, okay, he's a reliable number two wide receiver that you could consider for fantasy each and every week. His catch rate, not even 59%, 16.8 yards per catch. You can see where he's getting the job done is down the field, but 8 touchdowns in 16 games, that's what carried him.
Is this a guy you want on your fantasy team? He caught 3 passes or more just 4 times during the regular season. That's it. Unbelievable.
Trump, a poor man's Deshaun Jackson, I guess you would say.
He's a number three or number four receiver miscast as a number two in this offense.
And obviously he made plays. We can't deny that, but
he's just a situational
player. He was their shot guy on a team that doesn't throw the ball that much. And he's really nothing more than that.
And
he's a Jermaine Curse with the Seahawks. You know, he's just a...
That's a really good comparison. And by the way, how many times did they have Romo getting 10 seconds in the pocket because of the offensive line, and he's moving back and forth, and Williams just ends up wide open in the middle of the end zone because NFL defensive backs just cannot cover for that long. It's not possible.
Doesn't it feel like if you were kind of stuck in a week and you were on a Sunday morning pickup and you're in a PPR, you'd probably grab Cole Beasley before Terrence Williams just because you're going, well, I can get 5 for 50 out of him.
Terrence Williams was a guy who was probably on a bunch of rosters because of what he did early in the season. But we even were saying, look, this is a guy who has 6 touchdowns on his first 19 catches of the year. That doesn't happen.
Right.
There's no magical touchdown ability that Terrence Williams had. He just happened to be the guy that teams paid less attention to than Jason Witten and Dez Bryant.
Beasley's a guy that I like a little bit more than Terrence Williams going into the year, to tell you the truth. I feel like he's kind of emerged at the end of last season. He was relevant in the playoffs. I mean, he's a guy that I'm not going to draft or nobody's going to draft, but he's a guy that I could see maybe picking up on the waiver wire in the middle of the season next year where you need a fill-in guy.
What he's going to be. He's going to be one of those like 11th, 12th round picks that we talk about, and he's going to start off the year maybe red hot and people get super excited about him, or on the flip side, he goes 3 for 30 in the first game, and people are like, this guy's a bum, I'm going to drop him. And then he's going to be off and on rosters throughout the year.
Right, but that's what he should be. If you're treating him as anything more than that, if you're expecting Cole Beasley to all of a sudden show up here. Now look, he is the prototypical slot guy. He ran over 91% of his routes out of the slot, according to Pro Football Focus. That's exactly what he is. But he's kind of those guys that we've talked about, Joe, that you can pick up on a Sunday morning before the, I'm stuck, I need the last guy in my lineup, I'm hoping to get 5 catches, 45, 50 yards. That's what Cole Beasley is, and if you have higher expectations than that, you probably got to bring him down.
I agree with Tom, though, in that I almost like him better
I agree with
than
you.
Williams.
Yeah.
I might be more, I think Williams is probably going to go way too high for fantasy, and Beasley is a guy who probably is going to slip through the cracks a little bit, and I'll take him in the 10th, 11th, 12th round, and because I do see an element of upside here, if only because I think this team might have to throw more because you don't have DeMarco Murray
anymore. And without Murray, who did, help out in the passing game, does Beasley step up a little bit more there as well? I think that's a possibility. I agree. I think we're all on the same page with Beasley. We'd rather have him over Terrence Williams because I think you have an idea what you're getting from him each and every week. Williams is pretty much touchdown or bust, and, when he's not even catching 3 catch balls a game more than 4 times in a season, how can you get excited about him? One other young player I want to talk about here, this could be more down the road in Dynasty, is Gavin Escobar. Couldn't figure out much of a role for him in the second season, and I don't know if we're ready to call him a bust yet, but he was a second round pick in 2013. Just 9 of 12 targets caught for 105 yards, 4 touchdowns. There was a time where we were seeing him on the field a little bit more, and we know like they like to use the 2 tight end sets when they wanted to run the football, but he played on just 25% of the snaps last year. That was behind James Hanna.
In a run offense.
I guess the blocking's got to get better. He's a big dude. He's 6'6", 260. I think you just wonder here, did the Cowboys 7 years ago draft Martellus Bennett to be the eventual replacement for Jason Witten? He's still there. Was Escobar, is he still expected to be that guy?
4 years, well, he leaves and then he becomes a star somewhere else.
You can't call the guy a bust just
no,
yet.
No, not
and
there
I think,
yet.
I think Julius Thomas is going to be one of those guys who makes you want to pay attention to the Gavin Escobars and the Ladarius Greens of the world.
Right.
We've been waiting to bust out and still haven't busted out. this is a guy who I wonder, you know, you just wonder, is there enough talent here that people, that the Cowboys are like, we think we can get him a little bit more involved? And does that take snaps from Beasley? Does that take snaps from Terrence Williams if they flex out Gavin Escobar, who can certainly do those kind of things? I think he's one of those question marks on this team where you still see talent, but you're not exactly sure how they're going to deploy that talent. And I think that's the big problem with the Cowboys, because last year, the Cowboys were a great fantasy team. There was, how many guys were relevant? By the end of the year, four. Romo, DeMarco Murray, Witten, and Dez Bryant. That was it. They were a great fantasy team. You didn't really have a ton of questions. And maybe you plugged in Terrence Williams hoping for a big play and Beasley hoping for one of those five or six catch games. But that was about it. They do have some of the lower talent on the roster, though, that makes you wonder, can they do a little bit more? Can they get a little bit more annoying for fantasy?
I think they will be more
annoying. And you, as you already alluded to that, you got Escobar. You got James Hanna, who, by the way, can play a little bit as well. So you got three tight ends. You have Beasley, Devin Street.
Yeah, I was going to say, they used a fifth-round pick on him. They kind of liked him in the preseason last year, and they just couldn't find a way to get him on the field. He's another guy that might sneak onto the field next year. Yeah. So I mean, this has not, the make. They have definitely have the makings to be a fantasy headache next year.
It's not an untalented team. I just think, guys, it all boils back to Romo. And if he's asked to handle more and he becomes old Romo, then the Cowboys aren't going to be very good. Because the defense is still a problem. One thing our friend Greg Cosell is really fond of saying was almost that DeMarco Murray was almost their best defensive player. Because he kept the defense off the field. And when the defense is fresher, even if you're under-talented, you're going to be making more plays. You're going to be pursuing the ball a little bit more. You're going to get fewer opportunities to give up big plays. And I don't think anybody would argue that it was a great Cowboy defense. It just looked a lot better than we expected it to look because of the way they were able to play offense. Are they not going to be able to play offense that way anymore?
That's a good question. Now, looking at the defense here, they bring Rolando McClain back on a one-year deal, and they sign Greg Hardy. So they're trying to upgrade that defense. But as we go now into the draft, where do we think this team is looking at? And we've brought up running back. Doesn't that have to be close to the top of the list for the Cowboys in terms of priorities? But I think also you still look at that defense as well. Did they kind of get it done at times at smoke and mirrors last year? Because especially on the back end, they don't have a ton of talent there. And I do wonder if, you know, outside of the running back position, do they really just kind of focus on what they can do in the secondary in the draft? Because they certainly have some holes there.
The problem is this looks like a win-now team on offense without its best offensive player from last year, or its most important offensive player. I think you'd argue Dez is their best. You won't get an argument from me. But it's not a great defense. So do you bring in guys just to add depth to the defense? You know, it's fun to say, oh, they probably need to develop a quarterback. I don't see that in this draft. I don't really see a developmental quarterback. I think you just got to kind of go with what worked last year and just hope to God that you can have a running game that's not as effective, but one that can at least keep the offense on schedule similarly to last year. And that's why I would say running back is the Cowboys' most important draft need, because I think it's a team that with Romo in the condition he is in, needs to win now.
And I think we'll almost certainly see them use a second or third round pick. Maybe even a first if they get the right guy.
If Gordon falls, maybe they like Gordon and you can't.
Or Mr. Gurley if he would fall
a little bit.
You know, we'll see where he ends up. He has the knee issue, but
that's a gamble that's worth taking for Dallas, in my opinion, because I think Gurley could come in here and be.
He's a superstar. Has the potential to be a superstar, and Jerry Jones gravitates.
And McFadden probably gives him a little bit of a cushion there for a guy like Gurley if he has to start season on PUP or something like that, right?
And I think that's why a lot of people have been mocking Gordon to the Cowboys, because Jerry Jones sees a home run hitter out there. As a matter of fact, Melvin Gordon's been a guy I've seen compared once in a while to Felix Jones. I mean, that probably isn't going to make Cowboy fans extremely excited.
They just turned off
because
the podcast.
Another guy who popped off a lot of big runs in college with Arkansas, Darren McFadden's teammate. But I think Melvin Gordon is a guy who I'm concerned about for fantasy. I've laid that out in our pre-draft rookie report. I'm not entirely certain that he has the balanced skill set that's going to keep him on the field. But my excitement would increase tenfold if he landed in
Dallas. He'd find the right spot here. It would be perfect for him. I think that's the point.
And he'd come in as the starter.
Oh, sure.
If you draft Gurley, Gordon, Maybe you even go after a guy like Tevin Coleman, as you mentioned, Tom, who I think people are saying is a poor man's DeMarco Murray. I think that guy probably projects as the lead back because I don't see who else they'd have.
And you mentioned the star power. This is not a team that we have to beg for young players to get on the field if they're a star kind of player. Jerry Jones wants those guys on the field. And, you know, I don't think you'd have to beg for a running back like that. McFadden's in front of him. He's the veteran. Yeah. I don't think that would last very long, if at all. So certainly going to be an interesting draft for the Cowboys. And
can they build 2015? I also wouldn't expect them to go to receiver at some point in the middle rounds. I mean, as we said, Terrence Williams. Not a number two.
And maybe quarterback in the fourth or fifth round?
Yeah, Williams is, yeah, but
the problem is there's
nobody there, right?
I mean, if they drafted one, that guy's got a big arm.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what I'd expect.
Can't rule that out.
But that would be probably sixth, seventh round. They have so many needs on defense, though, that it makes it so much more difficult to spend on a quarterback.
I'm not trying to tell you the guy can't play.
He's a third or fourth receiver.
I'm with Tom. I think because they don't throw it a bunch,
the
role he fits, he played 77% of the snaps last season. It works for them because they don't throw it a bunch. If they were throwing more, I think you want more of a reliable guy at receiver that was catching more than 60% of his patches where he's not at. He still played, like I said, 77% of the snaps last season. That was fine for them. They have Beasley. What they have works for their philosophy right now. We'll be interested to see if that changes, though, and they have to throw it more in 2015. So as we look ahead to 2015 for the Cowboys, we'll see if they can build on that. We tell you once again, the MLB season is underway and FanDuel's changed the way people play fantasy baseball. You don't want to miss your chance to get in on the action with the season getting underway. Sign up now to play one day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. They're leaders in one day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Those entry fees start at just $1. You don't have to wait all season long to cash in. You can turn a lineup today into money immediately, and you can make every game exciting with FanDuel. And as we get into the start of the regular season here for the MLB, Tom. I mean,
opening day,
it's
baby.
It's opening day here as we're recording this podcast. We're excited and into it, but you know, our teams are playing in the afternoon. There's some night games. We talked about that. You want to get into those later games, and even tomorrow for some of these teams playing in cold weather areas. My team's off, but you'd have a reason to still be into it, even though you kind of have like, oh, now my team's not playing one day after the season gets underway. You can get right back into it, though, with FanDuel.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it this week. This is a week that I circle on my calendar here, so I got, you know, the Masters is later this week. You know, we got all kinds of baseball leading up, so this is the fun time of the year for baseball fans.
Eric Hafner from California turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. They're paying out more than $2.5 million every single day. But you have to play to win, so sign up today. Here's the important stuff. You go to FanDuel.com. You click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and use our code GURU and sign up now. Here's the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com, FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So as we move forward here and move up from the bottom of the first round going forward, we've already done podcasts on the Patriots, the Seahawks, the Packers, the Colts, and the Broncos. You can check all of those out. They're also up on the website at FantasyGuru.com, as well as the pre-draft rookie report. Plenty of content up as the offseason rolls on in the NFL. There's no offseason for us, but we'll have more of these podcasts coming up. And you can tweet in your questions. Use the hashtag FantasyFocus, and you can tweet them to us at Fantasy Guru Site, to me at The Matt Camp. Tom, your Twitter?
At FG underscore Brawley.
And Joe, yours?
At FG underscore Dolan.
Send them to us. We will answer your questions on the podcast as we get them. If you've been listening, we've gotten a bunch of those already. We appreciate those. But as we continue on, we'll answer your questions and continue to keep you up to date on everything happening leading up to the draft with these Franchise Focus podcasts. So for Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening to another Franchise Focus podcast right here at FantasyGuru.com.